Grace, peace, and mercy are yours this day through Jesus the Christ. Amen. I believe, help my unbelief. I wonder, how's your belief today? You know, how's our faith these days? What do you think of that when the father of this boy says to Jesus as he pleads for his son to be healed of this nasty illness? That's at the heart of the story from the Gospel of Mark this morning. Jesus has just arrived back from the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John. They went up there, you might remember, and as they were there, Jesus was transfigured, and then Moses and Elijah showed up, and then there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved, my son, listen to him." And then Jesus said, you know, don't tell anybody that this happened. And then they come back down the mountain and they encounter this scene and this commotion is taking place. Because his father has brought his son who has suffered since he was really little with a terrible illness. It sounds a lot like epilepsy or much like it. And the disciples haven't been able to cure this kid. And Jesus asks what's going on, and the father describes it. Jesus replies, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." Sounds kind of like Jesus was grumpy that day to me. I don't know. But, you know, I kind of give him a pass on that because, you know, the disciples, especially in the Gospel of Mark, they, as the Gospel writer writes it, they kind of never get it throughout the whole thing. They're always kind of a step behind Jesus, never really understand what he's up to. And I might allow Jesus a bit of frustration at this point. And I wonder, you know, has Jesus ever said that about me? "Dang it, Rudd, how much longer do I need to put up with you?" I'd understand it if he did. And as it goes, the child is brought to Jesus, and immediately the illness takes charge and throws the kid into a fit. And the father cries out to Jesus, "If you're able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." I would guess a lot of us could sympathize with that dad. Many of us might have prayed a prayer like that before. And Jesus responds, did you hear what he says? He says, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." And then comes the man's reply, "I believe, help my unbelief." And what follows is a miracle. Jesus casts out the illness. The boy convulses and then lays there, and everybody thinks he's dead. But then Jesus takes him by the hand and lifts him up. And finally, the boy, for the first time, it seems, in his whole life, is able to stand healthy and strong. It's an amazing story in the gospel. And incidentally, it's the third time now in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus has been met by a parent of a sick or dying child. You know, knowing what I know and perhaps what we all know of suffering and tragedy in this old world, seems there's no pain like that of seeing a child suffer, or worse, seeing one die. And it pains me to say that even as pastor, I've walked with quite a number of households in that circumstance. It's pretty awful. Today we might remember those around us who have experienced that pain. And who among us wouldn't hope for this kind of miracle to occur with every suffering child? Well, at the heart of this story is this question of belief, I think. And I note that we often see belief as something, you know, especially in our, perhaps our American culture, we often see belief as something of a cognitive choice, you know. You choose to believe something or not. At the same time, I note that whenever we read the word belief, or believe in Scripture, it has more to do with the sense of trust. Trust. Faith is about trust. And in what or whom or whose word or even whose reporting do you put your trust? It's more, perhaps, than just a cognitive choice. And in whom or where we put our trust seems to make a big difference. Certainly around here it does. And in that way, I kind of love the confession of the man. I believe, help my unbelief. It sounds so utterly honest. Can you relate to that? Got any unbelief in you every now and then? Or maybe all the time? Even as you might have a shred of hope and trust that God is with you and loves you and that there is nothing God cannot do, including that God has more in store for us even beyond this short life. Or even as you trust in the golden rule, you know, that the highest law of the land, to love your neighbor as yourself. Do we ever fail at trusting that? Do we ever rather trust that it's better to love ourselves over and above our neighbor? No, I do sometimes. So perhaps we can all resonate with the man's confession. I believe, help my unbelief. In fact, you know, this church has been teaching kids that confession for decades. Some of you have been up to Cathedral of the Pines and remember singing the I Believe. And the end of it, it goes, I believe, yes, I believe, I believe, yes, I believe, I believe, yes, I believe. Help, O Lord, my unbelief. I hope it's true because we've been teaching the kiddos that for a while. And so what's at the heart of this? Well, one thing we might say, and I think we have to say, is that faith is not a magic spell. While in this story, Jesus immediately heals the boy, we know that it's not always the case in this world and life. There were children, perhaps even in Jesus' day, who belonged to faithful parents who died. Faith does not mean that Jesus swoops in to fix all things we deem to be wrong or awful in this world immediately in the way we want. Or sometimes we can get caught in making our faith, our own faith, maybe even a cognitive choice, the object of our faith. In other words, as if our own faith is some kind of currency to be exchanged with Jesus or exchanged with God for a reward. Don't ask me how or why. It could be because I have three kiddos of my own, but I started thinking of Chuck E. Cheese this week. You know, you go to Chuck E. Cheese and you play the games and then you get the tickets, right? And then when you're done, you go to where the prize section is. And depending on how many tickets you've gathered, you can get a small or a medium or a big prize there. As much fun as that can be, I don't think God's economy operates like a Chuck E. Cheese, where you turn in the amount of faith that you have for a reward. And I think the father of the boy understands this too. I believe, help my unbelief. In other words, I don't need help with the faith I have, Lord, which may be very little. I need help with the faith I lack. True faith understands that there are things beyond our own ability or choice to change, beyond our ability to redeem. True faith suggests there are hopes and goodness and truth beyond that which we can see. I would wager to say true faith is admitting that there are things we might believe which are beyond our ability to believe. How about that? In fact, the great preacher Martin Luther said it that way when he described what happens with the Holy Spirit. He said, I believe that by my own understanding and effort, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ. But God gifts us with God's Spirit to actually give us faith. And that, dear friends, is the good news. The gospel is that Jesus has entered even into death itself and has been raised from the dead and now sits at the right hand of the Father and has authority over life and death. And so that as every one of us children encounter death, Jesus has a word. Do you believe this? I have to be honest, my own faith wavers sometimes. Depending on the moment or the day or the circumstances or the situation, I might say, I don't know. I say with the Father, I believe, help my unbelief. And as I hear the confession of the Father, it reminds me of a hymn sung at many funerals, a hymn that I've even witnessed sung at the funeral of children. It's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. And it dawned on me this week as I was pondering this scripture and digging into it, the hymn doesn't say, Great is my faithfulness. It says, Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. And it reminds me that in this old world, in our bones that we carry around, we might have some unbelief. In fact, it's the sin that we all carry. That we don't trust in the wondrous love and power of our Maker and Redeemer. And yet, in Jesus, we have one who is faithful beyond all measure to us. And it gives us life, and it gives us hope, and gives us newness. Jesus says, all things can be done for the one who believes. And I ask, well, who is that one? He's the one standing with that Father. He's the one standing and lifting up that Son. He's the one who stands with you. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. And we might reply, Lord, we believe. Continue to help our unbelief. Amen.